A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 375. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Psychoville. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This was a BBC Two show that ran from 2009 to 2011 in a couple of series with a total of 13 30-minute episodes plus a 45-minute Halloween special. And it is a black comedy and horror type show from two of the comedians from The League of Gentlemen.
It is indeed. And we'll be talking about those two quite a bit as we go on. And I'm going to say, Brian, it's a slight change of pace for us here at British Invaders. It is a horror show, a dark, sort of black-humoured horror show with some stuff to talk about as we go along and some certainly a wide array of characters. We can say that.
Yes, absolutely. So let's get into the setup.
So people living in various parts of the UK are receiving some strange and mysterious anonymous letters. Letters that simply say, "I know what you did." Sounds like a classic start to a horror trope or film.
Absolutely. And each one of these people receiving a letter seems to have some kind of dark secret, and it's pulling them into this situation as the series progresses. And we are left wondering who is sending these letters and what connects all of these people. And we learn that there are connections to this mental health hospital, now abandoned, called Ravenhill.
Yes, an abandoned, what we would have called a psychiatric hospital, a mental health hospital called Ravenhill. Again, we're in sort of classic horror film territory, it seems. And also the connection to the fearsome and strange nurse Kenchington, who ruled this institution with a rod of iron. And there seems to be a connection with all these different characters to her that we will establish, particularly as the series, and we get into the second series.
Yes, they are clearly paying homage to older horror films and that sort of thing in this.
So let's talk about the varied characters and some of these lead people who are receiving these letters. We'll start with Joy Aston, partly because she's played by none other than Dawn French. Joy Aston is a midwife who runs classes for expecting parents, classes in which I have to say she terrifies them. And she has a practice baby doll, which she refers to as Freddy Fruitcake and treats as if it's her own child, much to the irritation of her long-suffering husband. And I guess we should probably also mention it hints at a very sort of dark backstory for her and the reason that she puts so much love and attention on this little dummy baby doll.
That's right. Then we have Mr. Jelly, played by Reese Shearsmith, an embittered, quite bitter children's entertainer, a clown, who lost his hand in a surgical accident and now uses a hook or a series of different artificial prosthetic hands, which limit his ability to do these various tricks and bits of magic and balloon animals and things for kids' parties. And he is trying to use that to his advantage and put, you know, different things on the artificial hand, but it never seems to work out for him.
Also having trouble getting things to work out for him is Robert Greenspan, played by Jason Tompkins, an actor of very short stature who's been cast as one of the dwarves in a stage pantomime of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. And he, rather interestingly, believes he is developing some form of telekinetic power. There's a bit of genre stuff for us, which seems to exhibit when he becomes stressed or angry in classic, again, horror film sort of, you know, the trope of the extremes of emotion bringing on this ability.
Yes, and we will come back to this idea of a bunch of people with dwarfism being cast in this pantomime Snow White and the issues there. You know, that they were reflecting on in an interesting way. Oscar Lomax, played by Steve Pemberton, is a reclusive, blind millionaire who wants to complete his collection of first edition Beanie Baby stuffed toy animals. And he has this strange sort of old wise man character, and he is obsessed with collecting these old toys.
Yes, and lives in the old dark house, and we get a sort of like a new person's beginner sort of introduction to him in the house. And also played by Steve Pemberton is the character David Sowerbutts, a disturbed young man obsessed with serial killers, of all things, who lives with his elderly mother, Maureen, played by Reese Shearsmith. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in a moment. But if you're familiar with The League of Gentlemen and Inside Number 9, you'll know that these actors, the creators, are used to playing multiple characters in their shows. And here we have several roles for Shearsmith and Pemberton.
Yes, that's right.
So we have this ongoing mystery of the letters. Who sent them? The characters dealing with these letters, often not sharing the fact that they've received these letters with the people around them, are also dealing with the difficulties of their lives, with their secrets. We've mentioned Oscar Lomax. He enlists the help of his new carer, a character that he refers to constantly as Tea Leaf, as in a sort of rhyming slang for thief. Interestingly, a very young Daniel Kaluuya, who we saw in The Fades and also in Black Mirror, but of course this year he's won his first Oscar at the 2021 Oscars, Brian. So, you know, it was nice to see him so early on in his career.
Yes. Interesting to see someone who was obviously even then so very good in this show. Kind of interesting to have that.
And he's sort of brought in to help Oscar Lomax complete this fabled collection of his commodities, as he refers them.
Yes, and Lomax is trying to get this one last Beanie Baby he needs before his rivals, this pair of Siamese twins, these two women conjoined twins who were competing with him to get that. So we have lots of different characters, more than just the ones we've mentioned so far, and all sorts of things going on. Mr. Jelly is engaged with an ongoing battle with his own competitor, the more successful clown, Mr. Jolly. And of course, people are often confusing Mr. Jolly and Mr. Jelly.
Much to his annoyance when he turns up for bookings to find out that they wanted to get the other clown.
Yes, exactly. And Robert is dealing with the struggles of this panto production produced by Christopher Biggins. They had the real panto star Christopher Biggins playing himself. And also, he is in love with the show's star, Debbie Hart. And, you know, we have a whole bunch of things happening with that group of people as well.
And you've sort of hinted at the subject of Robert and his fellow actors being made fun of, and something that he gets a lot of trouble with. And yet he seems to be ignoring one of his fellow actors, another actor affected with dwarfism, who is looking out for his best interests, it seems. Seems to be cares about him and looking out for him, where most people just seem to be making fun of him or teasing him.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, there's lots of characters. And, of course, there's David and Mrs. Sowerbutts, who seem to be extending their fascination for serial killers. And perhaps they've decided to take it into the real and started, for a variety of reasons, to carry out their own murders. There are a couple obsessed with murders who become murderers themselves.
Yeah, it's a strange one, but it's definitely one of the ongoing themes. As you can tell, there are several different threads of this that are all running running at once.
Quite a lot to take in with this show. So we should get into our production notes, and we will start with Rhys Shearsmith and Steve Pemberton, the creators and writers of this show, members of the League of Gentlemen comedy troupe with Mark Gatiss and with the writer Jeremy Dyson.
And they all met at the Breton Hall Theatre School and started performing sketch comedy, winning the Perrier Award at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 1997. That led to a Radio 4 comedy series, which won a Sony Radio Award. And then on to TV from 1999 to 2002 with League of Gentlemen, which was set in this fictional town of Royston Vassy with bizarre and grotesque comedy characters filling things out.
Yes, and they, like many a successful British comedy show, they transferred it to a film as well. So in 2005 we had the League of Gentlemen's Apocalypse, and then more recently they've returned for some specials associated with the 20th anniversary of the League of Gentlemen, which was in 2017. So there were some TV specials and there was a live tour as well, I believe. And of course, famously, everybody involved at the League of Gentlemen troupe has gone on to have a successful career. So Mark Gatiss, Brian, you and I have talked about Mark Gatiss several times for his involvement in Doctor Who, for his interest in horror, for his work on Sherlock. But particularly for our show, we've talked about First Men in the Moon that he did with Rory Kinnear, and we enjoyed so much.
We also saw him in the remake of the Quatermass Experiment.
Of course, so we did, yes. Back before my time, but yes.
And he's been involved in the Big Finish audios, doing Doctor Who stuff there from the very beginning. So yeah, he's been involved in science fiction and the horror and detective type cult TV interests for a long time now.
And I'll just mention the character you don't see on screen, Jeremy Dyson, the writer, who after the League of Gentlemen, one thing of note that he's gone on to is the very successful stage show that he did with Andy Nyman called Ghost Stories, which in turn became a film as well. And I've seen both and they're absolutely terrific. Great fun to be had. Particularly if live theatre starts up again, worth getting to see Ghost Stories if you can.
I may have to do that the next time I'm in the UK.
I shall take you, Brian.
So Shearsmith and Pemberton started work on this new series with characters they had been working on together. They wrote all of the episodes together. And as with The League of Gentlemen and Inside Number 9, they would play multiple characters. And they took this name Psychoville from the title that was used for The League of Gentlemen in Japan. And I think actually the Ville part of that is more suited to the League of Gentlemen than it is to Psychoville.
Possibly, yes. Royston Vasey is very much a Psychoville.
And there is no single place where things take place in Psychoville. It's spread out around.
It is, yes. Now, I'm going to mention their producer, John Plowman, who had recruited them from the Edinburgh Fringe and I think did a very good job in spotting them. They worked with him and with director Matt Lipsey, who we remember from Dr. Terrible's House of Horror, but has also gone on to direct episodes of Inside Number 9 and is currently, I think, doing the series Intelligence with David Schwimmer. And they were filming around London in 2008 at a variety of locations, but as you say, Brian, making it look like different parts of the UK. And interestingly, John Plowman said to them, you've got a multiple character and a multiple location drama comedy show. That's going to be expensive. I'm going to need you to do at least one of the episodes as a single location shoot in order to bring this in on budget. And that leads to some interesting consequences, I think, from that bottle episode, Brian.
Yeah, they did episode 4 as sort of a parody of Alfred Hitchcock's Rope, with a single location filmed as if it was a single take. They didn't attempt it as an actual single take, but done as if it were a single take, with the David and Maureen Sourbutts characters. And they also brought in Mark Gatiss for that episode. So they had the reunion of the three of them from the League of Gentlemen. And it's also sort of a notable episode because it gave Pemberton and Shearsmith the idea of a series that would take place in a different single location for each episode.
Which, of course, would become the award-winning Inside Number 9, a series where each episode is different with different characters but takes place in a flat or a room or a building or a house or a dressing room that is labelled Number 9. And that is currently still running, starting in 2014, and is very successful and, like I say, has won several awards. So, yes, that's one of the interesting spin-offs from the fourth episode of Psychoville. I quite like that it's got those details. Mark Gatiss coming back, the Alfred Hitchcock parody, and then, of course, it gives them the idea for Inside Number 9.
Yes, of course.
Now, we know that Psychoville got involved in some interesting viral marketing, particularly working with another writing team, Neil and Rob Gibbons, who are perhaps best known for writing material for the variety of Alan Partridge shows with Steve Coogan. And they created a variety of websites and web presences for the show. And the way they did this was they set up websites for most of the characters that we meet. So, for instance, you could see websites advertising the services of Mr. Jelly and Mr. Jolly. You could find Joy Aston's website full of tips for expecting parents, fairly gruesome ones. You could go to a collection site to deal with the commodities that Oscar Lomax was collecting, plus a listings of the best serial murderers of all time for the Sourbutts and so on. So there's a variety of these sites, some of which I believe are still up. You can still see them through the BBC site, which came out as a form of marketing for the show. Interesting stuff.
Yes, that was sort of a popular kind of thing to do around then, 2009, to create websites that are sort of in story as if they were a real part of the story that you could see online. Psychoville Series 1 ran for 7 episodes on BBC Two in June and July of 2009.
And I mentioned that Inside Number 9 wins lots of awards. Psychoville did win an award in its first season as Best New Comedy at the British Comedy Awards in 2009.
And then they returned for a 45-minute Halloween special, so longer than normal Halloween special. That came out in October 2010. And then Psychoville Series 2 ran for 6 episodes in May and June of 2011.
And also won a Best Comedy Award, this time the Best Comedy Drama Award at the British Comedy Awards, that time in 2011.
Yeah, so it did get some positive action from the award scene there, which is interesting.
So, turning to the availability of this series, in Region 2, as ever, of course, it's very easy to get hold of. You can get DVD and Blu-rays with all the episodes, including the Halloween special, plus a variety of extras, some interviews, some features on different characters, commentaries on the episodes from Pemberton and Shearsmith. And both are, strangely, about the same price. They're both about £14 each to buy. Or you can watch them digitally, which I've been doing, streaming them on Amazon Video for around £8 for a season. And if you get season 2, that includes the Halloween special. So you get the first 7 episodes, and then in the second series, you get 6 episodes and the Halloween one.
In Region 1, there is no DVD or Blu-ray release, but it is available on BritBox. So if you get a BritBox subscription or even the 1-week trial, you will have access to this and be able to watch it streaming.
Very cool. Nice to have a BritBox subscription, Brian.
Yes, nice to have some of these things available there. So next time, we will talk about the Halloween special and Series 2 and some of the new characters and notable actors that become part of this show.
And we're going to talk a little bit about comedy horror and get into a little bit of the dark and grotesque character comedy that this show features and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and we'll discuss if parts of it seem questionable at this point or not. Plus, of course, we will have our reviews and recommendations about this series.
Indeed we will. Lots to talk about.
In the meantime, you can find all of our episodes on BritishInvaders.com, or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group and join in on the discussions there.
Please do, and also please come and join in the fun at the Voice of Geeks Network, where British Invaders is a proud member. You'll find all the information at VogNetwork.com. VogNetwork.com for the Voice of Geeks.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. This is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.